it, we've memorized it, and we just don't necessarily every time we pray it, we're just repeating it. We're just sort of going through the motions, and this isn't a bad thing. Memorizing scripture is not a bad thing. Finding yourself in a situation where you need to say, you know, hey, Dad, who's in heaven, I need you right now, and you know, using that prayer and engaging your relationship with Christ with that prayer, fantastic, but we're just going to go somewhere else this morning. Like I said, Christianity and the whole Christian life is based around Jesus Christ, who he was and how he prayed. So then, should we not look at the other ways that Jesus prayed and the other ways that Jesus engaged prayer rather than just the one time that he said, you should pray this way, and then we just pray that way? You know, how else did Jesus retreat on the mountain to be alone? Jesus is about to face a trial and he is, you know, spend some time alone on his knees. Or he's with his friends celebrating a meal about to give his life up for them and he prays. The scripture are full of times that Jesus is praying. He's about to perform a miracle and there's these moments where Jesus is silent. And the disciples are like, hey, Jesus, what are you doing? And Jesus seems like he's just being quiet for a moment. I would argue that those are times where he's sort of consciously saying, hey, God, in his head, you know, I'm saying it out loud, but he's saying, what are you doing here? You know, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond in this situation? And God, you know, speaks to Jesus, and Jesus does miraculous things, but the example is that Jesus engaged in those intentional conversations with his Father all the time. So, what prayers have I mastered besides the Lord's Prayer? How about this one, Johnny Appleseed? Oh, the Lord is good to me, and so I thank the nobody's going to sing it with me. I'll do it alone. No one, a little smile. Okay, so that one we did all the time before we were about to eat, or at my house it was hold hands and we say, God is great and God is good, so we'll thank him for this food. By his hand we'll all be fed. Ho! Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. Squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. Pass love around, and if we had company, thank you for Frank and Gertie being here. Amen. You know, just like that, we would just put it in there, always. And that was how I prayed until I was, you know, maybe I was 19 and I went on my first date and I'm like, do I hold her hand? God is great. And she's looking at me and I'm like, didn't last long. Or there's the fun one. So we have friends here, and I'm going to use it. I didn't ask you, but for permission, but my wife is so wonderful and she's going to let me use it. But she sometimes struggles with just the porters have a great prayer. For what we're about to receive, Lord, make us truly thankful. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, and it's perfect because when we're over there for dinner, I'm very confident. I can close my eyes and hold the kids' hands, and I can crack that one eye open and look. Yes, you know, I just can't quite get it. So she's got the pregnant brain going on. She has an excuse, but it's funny. And it's not that these prayers are not meant to be fun or are no less meaningful because we sing them or because we hold hands and because, you know, we do it out of routine. But these are just times that we're sort of stopping what we're doing, stopping conversation, stopping the fun and the giggles and the jokes, and we're holding hands in perfect unity and we're thanking God for what he gave us. And these are good things. So don't hear me saying that these are not valuable prayers, but they are valuable prayers and they help us talk to God. And I love them. You know, Jesus, he held hands with his boys before he prayed and before he ate, and he shared these kinds of things. What does Paul ask us? Because Matt's always a big fan of bringing Paul. He says this about prayer: rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm struggling with the cold, so you're going to have to excuse me. But Paul says, pray without ceasing. You know, in everything that you're doing, whether it stinks or whether it's super awesome, continue to pray to God. Continue to talk to him, because that is what Christ Jesus' will is for you. And it's clear that Jesus was about prayer. And I think oftentimes, because we're humans, our most natural design is to complicate prayer. You know, we let things get in the way. We don't want someone to hear us pray out loud because maybe we won't say the right things or we don't have the right words, and so I don't pray out loud. Or you know, maybe it's, oh, well, Pastor Trevor, like the first time I heard Pastor Trevor pray, I thought, I don't even want to pray because he's poetic and he puts scripture references in there and it just sort of, it seems to flow out of him. You know, those kinds of people who pray and you're just like, oh, I wish I had that. Or you go to a charismatic congregation and there's this beautiful tongue that comes out, and all of a sudden you're just like, see, that's a gift from God. Like, how come I don't have that gift? You know, that gift of prayer. Or, you know, and I just think, you know, Jesus was all about prayer and these things. And I know this is a hard thing sometimes for all of us to say, but prayer is really very, very, very simply just a communication, a vocalization, if you will, of our inside thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And we need to express those thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And all the guys here are going, wow, Matt, you said express thoughts, feelings, and emotions really easily, right? And the women are sort of going, finally, someone's telling them, right? But sincerely, you know, this morning, the idea is to express what's going on in our hearts, what's going on in our heads, what's going on in our minds. Thank you, brother. What's going on? And expressing that to God and talking to Him about these things, okay? So, if you hear something that rubs you the wrong way, please talk to me about it. Don't just like gossip and slander about me out somewhere else. You know, if you hear something that like, you say, hey, I'd like to push back a little bit on that, or I'm curious about what you said about this, or what did you mean when you said this? You know, I'm very open to talking about these kinds of things. My goal this morning is to not offend you. It's to push you to a place where you go, you know what? I can engage prayer in a better way. Okay, that's where I want to get to this morning. So God, as we dive into these scriptures, as we dive into some of these illustrations, I pray that you would take these meditations of my heart, and that you would take these studies that I've done, and that they would be encouraging to our brothers and sisters this morning in you, that these illustrations would highlight the interactions we have with you. And so thank you for the opportunity to preach your gospel and to share your message. Don't take it lightly. So I love you. Amen. So I was going to ask the question, has anybody ever had an interaction with another human being? But that would be a really stupid question. So I'm going to tell you about a couple of really great interactions that I had, because I want to talk about how interactions we have with each other shape what we think about other people, okay? So in kindergarten, and I came to my first kindergarten class, and I was so excited because I had this big Batman symbol on my chest, and I walked in the classroom, and there was this kid named Bennett Kane, and he was standing on the other side of the room, and I was so excited because he had a Batman t-shirt on, and I go running over there as happy as I can, and I'm like, I'm Batman, and he just looks at me like, no, you're not, I am, and I was like, what? On next 12 years, every time in gym class when we played dodgeball, it was his head every single time, right? That interaction of, hey, we could be friends because I'm Batman too. And he's like, no, I'm Batman. And all of a sudden it was like, I have this weird interaction where we don't like each other, right? Anybody have a similar one like that in school? Maybe not. How about this? You get a brand new CD, a record, or a tape, or whatever it is that you mature people listened to in the day when you're grooving out or rocking out or twisting, shouting, you know, whatever it is that you did, and you're totally enjoying this new album, and you're having the time of your life, and then all of a sudden you hear this person that you really don't like got the same album, and they were spotted driving around town listening to that same music, and suddenly you're like, ugh, I hate this music. You know, for me, it was always my sister. You know, I liked an album, and then I'm like, oh, these guys are great. And then my sister's like, yeah, I've been listening to them for like 3 months. Get with the program. I'm like, I hate them now, right? These interactions. How about this? You have a friend who has had their feelings hurt by another person, and they come together, and they're sort of like, oh, that Marsha is such a jerk. And then the other voice is sort of like, I know, I'm not sharing my fries with her at lunch anymore. You know, you sort of have some of these interactions, like, oh, you hurt my friend? I'm going to hurt your friend. You have these interactions that start going on. And we have them all the time, and these interactions that we have with people, they shape how we carry on interacting with other people. You know, I'm not so quick to wear a shirt with a logo on it and say, hey, you know, I'm Batman too, just in case I get rejected. You know, and maybe I don't tell people what music I like to listen to because I don't want you to ruin it. You know, no, I'm just kidding. I like you. Come on, we're getting there, okay? But these are some of these interactions that shape who we are, right? But how about Those are negative interactions, right? Pastor can have fun with those, but how about some of the positive interactions that we have with things? Has someone ever invited you over for a lunch or a dinner or a dessert, and they've cooked it all, and then, you know, they serve you a coffee, and then they do all the dishes, and this is a good interaction, because you're like, hey, I just got to enjoy dinner and a cake, and I didn't have to do any dishes. Sweet. Feel pretty good about that. Or, you know, how about this in a quick list? Has anyone ever complimented you on something that you made or sang or something you drew or built or an animal that you harvested or a floor that you laid or a child that you birthed or whatever, right? Somebody said, hey, that was kind of cool. You know, you had this interaction, you're like, I like that person because they said something nice to me, and there was a positive reinforcement to that interaction. Have you had those kinds of things happen in life? You can recognize, right, how some of those bad things that happen shape how we interact with people, and when good things happen, that shapes how we interact with people. All of these experiences are perfectly natural, and they happen lots to us every single day. But the question is, when we come to church, is how many people are having these kind of interactions with the Almighty God? I mean, how many people would honestly say that they've had a bad experience with prayer? I asked for something and I didn't get it. Or I petitioned God for something that was good that he should have done in our world and it didn't happen. Why are people still fighting about Black Lives Matter in America and being so hateful towards you? I've prayed, God, that you would eradicate racism in the world. Why haven't you done that yet? That's current, isn't it, right? We have these interactions. Why isn't God doing more about that when we pray about that? And sometimes we pray, oh man, God, I'm having a really hard time with my neighbor and he said some rude things and he judged me and I'm really upset about it. Would you help change my attitude about that? And then he comes over the next day and goes, hey, you know, I said something rude to you the other day, and that was, you know, that was rude of me. And I go, wow, like God answers prayer. But those interactions, you know, maybe they shape how we pray. Maybe they're shaping, you know, how quickly we are to come to the Father and ask him for things. How quickly we come to the Father and say, hey, this is what's going on in my life. These interactions begin to shape how we pray. And I know it's easy for me to say that I've experienced these things often, but people come to me often and they say, Pastor, this is what I'm looking for from God. This is what I need to experience. And I oftentimes sit in my office and I can really see very clearly that they're seeing right past how God is already speaking to them, or they're listening around the message that God is giving them, or they're sort of just refusing to accept that God has chosen not to answer this particular prayer at this particular time. And it's very obvious when we start to have these conversations. But how many people can say, oh, you know, that was a great encouragement from what that person just said to me. That was a gift from God. Or while you're playing baseball a couple of weeks ago, hey, there's a double rainbow literally all the way across the sky. God is a good God. You know, we prayed for good weather, and here we are. We're finally getting rain, and that's a promise from God. He's not going to flood us again, and there's these two rainbows instead of one rainbow, and they're huge. I've never seen those colors. Like, thank you, God, for a sweet promise, you know? And we oftentimes, we're like just so busy playing baseball underneath those rainbows that we don't even stop to say, hey, God, thank you for answering prayers. So hear this, okay? This isn't to brag, but God has done great things in my life because I pray. And I've seen him do other things in other people's lives because we pray. And often, hear me, even pastors are too rushed looking for specific signs, asking for coincidences or particular ways that we need God to answer our prayer, and we're just not involved in the process of what God is trying to teach us about prayer life. Even pastors, there's days that I go without praying, and then you get into the office, you're like, why do things suck so much today? Haven't talked to God about this yet, right? How often are we experiencing the struggle, experiencing, you know, all of these sucky things, and we haven't talked to God about them yet, right? And I think that some of us, here's a hard truth that I think I've experienced and I've got the courage to say to us, some of us are not able to say that God has answered prayers in our lives, and maybe we've never felt God. And why is that? Because I think, friends, that simply, very, very simply put, without casting judgment, all of us included, I don't know that we pray enough. daily, weekly, or monthly. I don't believe that oftentimes we're having enough intentional interactions with God. We are simply not praying without ceasing. Okay? And hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that if you pray more, God will answer your prayers. It's not about quantity. Okay? I think, friends, it's about the quality and the surrenderedness of heart. And we're going to get to that. It's not quantity. It's not that you can pray 10 of these prayers and get rid of 8 of those sins, or you can pray 60,000 prayers and suddenly God gives you the new, you know, Corvette Z06 that you want. This isn't what I mean by we're not praying enough. What I mean is we're not praying the way that God wants us to pray. How would our prayer life change? You know, how would our prayer life change, and how might God be able to answer our prayers if we were all striving just a little bit more for intimacy with God? Like if you expressed those thoughts, those feelings, and those emotions to God every morning and every afternoon and every night, heck, today, you know, just like they do, because they're dedicated to prayer, to a God who's not answering their prayers, you know, pray to a God who can answer your prayers and get down and show that kind of dedication and pray that many times for that long, and you're going to start to realize that there's more things inside of you that you can express to God. I can guarantee that, you know, all of us at some point in another are not giving God enough time in our prayer life. Okay? So where am I going with this? I want to recognize very clearly this morning that I know that people have had very different experiences with prayer. Excuse me. Some of us have sat in services where the preacher or the pastor has said, any of those this morning that are experiencing any ailments, I want you to raise your hands. And they instructed those who raised their hands to sort of come to the middle, and everybody else who's around them, I want you to gather around, I want you to lay hands on these people, because God is going to do a miracle today. And we're going to pray for those people, and things are going to be healed, and all this stuff is going to be set right, and this is the will of God, so this is going to happen. You know, has anybody been in those situations? Maybe not by show of hands, but we've been in some of these situations. And I've been there. I've laid my hands on a good friend and prayed that God would heal these back problems that he's been having, that keep him out of sports, keep him out of school, keep him from interacting with people around him. And I pray, God, would you heal this person? And God doesn't do anything. And then my friend goes, well, pray again, man. Like, come on, we're here. And the pastor said it's going to happen. Let's pray. We're going to get this healing right now. The pastor said it's going to happen. And how come God doesn't heal people right then and right there every single time? That's pretty confusing. Here's my idea, okay? This is not the truth. This is as much the truth as I understand it, okay? As much as I understand it. I don't believe that it's God's will that we don't suffer, right? We have suffering so that in our suffering, we need to lean on God for strength. We suffer so that we understand that we need God to pull us through. We suffer so that we depend on God for all that he has for us to pull us through some certain situations. And this doesn't mean that God doesn't miraculously heal, because friends, I've seen him miraculously heal, but in these situations when the pastor is calling down, you know, miracles from heaven, because he can do that in some places, you know, I sort of get to wondering, well, didn't Christ suffer for me? You know, and he asked, didn't Jesus ask God, take this away from me? And God said, no, Jesus, you're there to die and you're there to suffer in their place. Even Jesus prayed, and God didn't answer Jesus' prayers. And we don't always think about that. We just think, well, I'm praying for my friend's back to be healed. God, you ought to answer that, because that's what you ought to do. You're God, right? And we struggle with these things. And we have these weird interactions. I can tell you very honestly, it was a couple weeks before I got down on my knees. I'm thinking, you know, God, why did you? That's embarrassing. I'm in chapel with my friends, and they're going, well, you don't have enough faith, man. You didn't believe that God was going to heal me, did you? And it put this rift between me and my friend. I said, dude, do you really think that I prayed for you expecting that God wasn't going to heal you? Like, I'm just like, hey, God, would you please heal my friend's back problems? You know, and honestly, these are hard things. And I know, friends, that, you know, you have probably struggled through very similar situations. Whether it's someone who is suffering a degenerative disease, or suffering from something that's a lifetime thing. You have experienced these. People call the church all the time going through these things. Pastor, we need some prayer here. What is it about those situations? You know, is it the pastor that's going to get glory instead of God? You know, if God did heal my friend right in that moment, as I thought about this, as I meditated, if God really had have healed my friend right there, would it have glorified the pastor who said, "I'm going to tell you, God is going to, I'm calling down miracles from heaven"? Who does it glorify in that moment? Does it glorify that pastor, or does it glorify God? Does it inflate his, you know, his big head, or does it show how great God is? Does it really matter if it inflates him, if God's will is being done? There's confusion. And friends, I'm trying to walk you through this confusion that I've had, because I think a lot of us most time are living over here going, "God, like, I'm struggling with prayer." And God sent his son Jesus to scoop us up and to set us apart from that stuff and to plop us down over here. And so that's what I'm trying to walk us through here, okay? I've seen people at camp just this summer, rolls down a hill, twists the ankle up. It's all swollen like a grapefruit. She can't walk. We carry her upstairs. And she says, "You know, I believe that God can heal me, so will you guys pray for me?" And we're like, "Sure. I mean, I wasn't going to pray for you. I was going to put you in the truck and drive you to, you know, Kelowna General and get you an x-ray, but sure, let's pray." And, you know, God, she's come in faith, and, you know, she's going to miss the whole week of camp with a broken ankle on the crutches. You know, is there any way that, you know, it's in your will that you could heal this girl's, you know, ankle? And 25 minutes later, she's chasing everybody around the thing, and I'm thinking, holy, it goes from, and it's back to normal. I'm thinking, how come God answers that prayer? But I've witnessed people being prayed for regarding cancers and cysts, abnormalities in the body, and they go to a doctor's appointment that next week, and the doctor says, "I can't find anything wrong with you anymore." You know, and very simply, how about these ones? "I've prayed for math tests that I should never have passed. Lord, help me find the answer. And I'm passing tests. How come God answers some prayers and doesn't answer others?" Friends, the truth is, I don't have the answer to that question. You're going to ask him when you meet him. But I can walk us through how God wants us to pray so that we can experience his answers in a way that is helpful for us, in a way that draws us into wanting to pray more rather than being over here hurt by prayers not being answered, okay? Friends, I've prayed for kids, I've prayed for cars, money, fame, and a do-nothing six-pack that still hasn't shown up yet, right? And no one can seem to tell me why these things aren't happening. And I think that the answer is in how Jesus prays for us. I think that Jesus used specific words in order to teach us something important about prayer and receiving and understanding the will of God. Billy Graham said one time, he says, "Too many of you, true prayer is a way of life and not just a use in case of emergency." You know? I thought, hey, that's good, Billy. I like that. I'm going to put that in there. A little gem, right? But Jesus says, "I've given you these things." We're picking up in John chapter 17 at verse 13. Jesus says these things, "I've given them these things while I am still in the world so that they may have a full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world." And the first few times that I read that, I thought, that's interesting. He's speaking these words while he is in this world rather than speaking them from heaven. Jesus comes to earth and he brings with him joy and salvation and deliverance, superior communication skills, and Jesus does these things in order for what? That we would have, it's right there in verse 13, a full measure of Christ's joy within us. Doesn't say healing on the spot. Doesn't say that brand new car. Doesn't say everything you've ever wanted if you just ask in Jesus' name. No, it says, "I've given them these things so they'll have a full measure of me within them." And Jesus, you know, prays these things for us, for his disciples and for us, that we would know him and we would have his joy. And Jesus, before going to be crucified and beaten, battered, mocked, and murdered, stopped to pray, yes, for himself, that he would be spared, but he stopped to pray these things for us. You know, while that was sort of blows my mind. While he's going to, you know, suffer and experience all this, hard time, he's praying for us. And I think that speaks of the heart of who Jesus is. In the very heart and depth and measure of all this junk that's going on in his life, he wasn't thinking about himself. He puts himself aside and he does it for us. And if you don't think that that's awesome, you got to think about that just a little bit longer. And Jesus is saying that my prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, carrying on here from 15. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. Look, Jesus isn't asking that we be spared from any bad things that might happen, tragedies, sicknesses, things not going our way, disaster, suffering, etc. Jesus is praying that we would have a full measure of his joy within us and that we would be protected from the evil one. I mean, that's pretty specific. I mean, he's not saying bad things aren't going to happen to you. You know, Jesus asks for things to go away. It doesn't go away. God makes him go through these things. Jesus prays for protection for us, for a measure of joy for us. Again, Jesus says this. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. Set them apart by your word. What does Jesus' word say? Jesus says it over and over again. They are not any more of this world than I'm of this world. They are no more a part of this world than I am. And at first I'm kind of thinking, like, what the heck are you saying here, Matt? I could say it over and over again, but then you sort of like, you're reading it in your Bible, you're looking at a commentary, and you're thinking, what am I missing here? Well, Jesus is saying, you don't have to live here. If you're living here, you're doing it wrong. I've asked you and shown you how I want you to live so that you'll live this way. So if this is heaven and that's earth, I like these big pictures because it helps me understand, okay? Jesus is chilling in heaven and he's hanging out with God and they're like, hey, we did some creation. You know, the world's going pretty terribly. You know, look at how terrible Israel is and they just reject me. And they, you know, we free the slaves out of Egypt and they wine and wine. They want to be back enslaved in Egypt because they had it good there, you know. Heaven forbid I keep giving them food from heaven and giving them clean clothes and restoring all that they have, but they want to be enslaved. So Jesus is like, well, you know, Dad, maybe I ought to go down there and set things right. So Jesus says in this passage, look, I'm going to sanctify myself, set myself apart. So he's like, do, comes down to heaven. And we'll start his timeline back here. He's born, he grows up, starts his ministry about 30 years old, and he starts showing us, here's how you pray, here's how you interact with people, here's how you share the gospel, and look, in all of this persecution, here's how you're going to pray, and here's how you're going to be obedient and faithful and listen to the will of God. And if you do all of those things and accept all that I have, I'm going to pull you out of this world, and you're going to live with me eternally over here. And you're going to stop dwelling on the material things, and you're going to stop dwelling on the what-ifs, if I could only, or if I just had. And you're going to start dwelling on the, I have that. God is good. He's going to provide. Live here in your faith. Live set apart from that stuff. Jesus is trying to say it here. This is what he's saying. They are not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. Friends, when we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ, He transforms us. He changes. He takes that mindset that we have about being hurt about prayer, being hurt about the bad things that have happened, and he says, let me take those things, stick them on the cross, and when we're done sticking them on the cross, join me over here. And we get so hung up on, why didn't you heal my friend Rory's back when I prayed for him? Jesus says, one day I'm going to heal him, whether it's on this side of heaven or not. That's not for you to determine. Trust me. Have faith in me. No, Jesus is praying that we wouldn't be a part of this world. He's praying that we would be sanctified and set apart from these things. Jesus prayed that when he gave us God's word, that we wouldn't be like the world and reject it. Hey, Chris, can you hit the fans? Thanks. You know, Jesus isn't praying, he's praying that we wouldn't dwell over here, that we would be set apart from these things. I'm going to read this part twice. If we accept the word and understand the word, and we know that the word is truly in our hearts, in our minds, and we dedicate our strength to it, we will experience the things of heaven. Because God brought them to us through Jesus Christ. He brought these things to us. Scripture says this, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, for I sanctify myself that they too might be truly sanctified. Here's sort of like my favorite part of this whole sermon. So if you didn't catch anything else, catch this sentence. As God sent Jesus into our world, Jesus has sent us into this world. Jesus set himself apart from his Father that we might be set apart to his Father. Does that make sense? As God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus has sent us into the world. Jesus set himself apart from heaven to earth that we might be set apart from earth to heaven. And that's the promise of the gospel. That if you accept all that Jesus Christ has given you and has done for you, and you chase that with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, is that you are going to start experiencing over here the things of heaven. Which is crazy, because that's what I was telling you at the beginning, right? Is that I prayed for healing, and I've seen it happen. That's only supposed to happen in heaven, because our world is corrupt and broken and damaged. And we experience all that garbage, right? Am I losing anybody? Are we with me? I'm pushing along. Okay. God sent Jesus into our world, and he sent us out into the world. Jesus set himself apart from heaven so that we might be set apart to heaven. And Jesus is saying, Dad, you sent me into this world. You put a distance between you and me. And Dad, I accepted this role, and I set myself apart from you, from heaven, from perfectness, from no pain, no temptation, no death, no sorrow. Perfect harmony to come to this earth in order that I might minister and be set apart from the world so that they can enjoy all the promises that you have. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, right? I mean, he put up with all that stuff so that I don't have to. Pretty cool, right? So I don't know that life, friends, is about us trying to find God like he's hiding or invisible or something. The scripture says he's not invisible. He's already made himself close to us. We can see him all around us. We can feel his presence like the wind, right? So we can't always be thinking, oh, I just need to find God's will for my life. What if God's will for your life has already been given to you? The truth is already in the scriptures. He's already around us. He's with us. Just seek him. He's made himself close to you. God's will is not something out there that we need to find in prayer. It's something that is already here with us. It was a person, and now it's his spirit that can live inside of your heart. He can be with you everywhere you go, right? And I don't know that it's right for us to really try to take credit for growing closer to God, because he's already done the hard work of becoming close to us on the cross. I mean, Jesus does the hard work so that we can accept that he came and paved a way for us to live, right? This week I had a visitor come into my office, and we were chatting about this sermon, because I was like, how do I present this stuff in a way that's not like, you know, it doesn't sound like this, hey, you're praying wrong, and if you want to pray right, you should listen to my sermon. Because that's not the truth. That's not the truth. The truth is, hey, we're not praying right, me included. How do we get back on track? That's what this is about. And I'm chatting with this guy, and he gave me this idea. Find it again. We're chatting about this sermon, and you know, I'm thinking, oh, I could say this or I could say this. And I was talking about the hard work that Jesus endured. We can experience heaven's promises on earth, and Jesus prays for the disciples. This is the prayer that we're using. Wouldn't this be kind of cool? You know, and Jesus is asking his heavenly Father to take away this suffering that's going to come ahead of him. And I had this idea that came into my head that is only speculation. It hasn't been written yet because I haven't written it in a book yet and been published. But maybe, just maybe, when Jesus was about to be crucified, maybe he was thinking about us in another way, if we read this another way. Maybe instead of, you know, saying, God, would you take this pain and embarrassment and mockery and suffering from me? Jesus is saying that. You know, before he's going to the cross, what if Jesus was thinking that the embarrassment and the mockery and the suffering was that he was going to hang on that cross and people would still reject him? That people would still get so stuck in their prayer life and forget everything that he'd done for them. You know, maybe that was the pain that Jesus was, maybe the physical pain wasn't so much that he was worried about, but knowing that he was going to live until God, you know, eliminates this earth and takes believers dead and alive, he takes them to heaven, and he does the whole Jesus comes back and takes us to be with him. Maybe Jesus was thinking, I've got to suffer knowing every single day that I died for people and they're still rejecting me. Maybe Jesus was saying, would you take that from me in the garden rather than take this physical pain and embarrassment? And I was thinking, whoa, that was kind of a powerful moment that I had with this guy. But then all of a sudden, I started realizing how I treat prayer. You know, sometimes I want something, I get on my knees and I pray, and we're going on a road trip, and I pray before we go, and I'm praying for my dinner, and I need something, so I ask God. And I'm struggling with something, so I ask God to give. God, give me. God, give me. Someone having a hard time with someone at work, you know, God, give me this. Someone nagging at you to do this. Oh, all these problems. Ill feeling someone you have towards someone or someone has towards you. You know, take these away. Give me this. Give me that. Jealousy, pain, sickness, all these things. We're asking, and in Jesus' name we ask it, because if we ask in Jesus' name, he'll give us anything. You know, ask in my name, you know, and we take that so honking literally, right? We don't even think about what he's asking, what he's really saying to us. I mean, God already has given us everything we need to experience his will in every situation. So what we might need to be saying to God rather than just asking for something is saying something like this. You know, when someone's giving you a hard time at work, you say, hey, God, and seriously, prayer can be just like this. It doesn't have to be anything special. It doesn't, hands closed, head down, bow. It says, hey, you know what, God? I acknowledge that you have had a hard time with me in my past, and I've been the person giving hard people a hard time at work. But you know what, God, I accepted the grace and the forgiveness that you gave me on the cross, and it has made all the difference in how I interact with people. So would you correct my heart attitude and remind me to love this person the way that you loved this person? Because you died on the cross for that person that I have a hard time with at work. How about that kind of prayer when you're having a hard time with someone at work, rather than just, oh, God, give me the strength to deal with Matt again. Do you see what I mean? It's not the quantity of the prayer. I'm talking about sort of a bit of a quality of the surrendered heart. Does that make sense? Rather than just saying, man, oh, it's so hard to get along with Matt. God, give me the strength. Oh, he's such an idiot. Say, you know, hey, God, I've been an idiot, and you've had a hard time. People have had a hard time with me. You know, acknowledging all of the other things that God has already, he's already given you grace and forgiveness. That's what you need to offer someone. He's already given it to you. So why are you asking for it? He's given it to you. Hello? You know? Does that make sense to you? Makes sense to me. And I'm like banging my head on the wall trying to figure this thing out. And this person who came to my office, he said this. He said, you know what? It's because we're so focused on the invoice when God has already paid the bill. And I thought, man, I wish I could coin that. You ought to write a book. You know, I don't know what it would be called, but he should write a book with one sentence. It would sell lots. I thought so. But it was cool. We're so focused on the invoice that we forget that God already paid the bill. And I do understand that it's still an ask that God works with you. And you do need to express that. You do need to say in those hard times or in those situations, acknowledge God. Pray without ceasing. Acknowledge him in everything that's going on. Okay? I understand that you're still asking for God's will, but rather than asking to hear or to find or to experience God's will, his will has already been done. Acknowledge his will and then step out in faith. That's what I'm saying. I get a little excited. And understand that it is an ask, but it's not just throwing up the, and if you live by these things, no offense given. It's not just the, well, what would Jesus do? Or maybe I should just pray until something happens. You're just going to sit there and pray and hope that God solves all your problems, or are you going to go and act and be an ambassador of Christ? I mean, nothing would get solved if we go, oh, that's nice. They're rioting and killing each other over civil rights movements in America again. Maybe we should just not do anything about it. And God will just do it. Pray for them. Consider how those kinds of conversations you can have with people and not perpetuate the hate that's going on, whether they're black and white or Muslim and Christian or Hare Krishna. Who cares? Jesus loves them. Oh, they like boys. I shouldn't love them, and they're a boy. And they transgendered themselves. Oh, I can't show them God's love. Heck no. God died for them too. So why, you know, you don't have to accept their lifestyle, but you sure ought to show them the love of Jesus. Absolutely. And it's just, we're perpetuating this hate, and it goes, oh, not we. I'm off of the script here, but I see it in the world all the time. right? We see it, and that's living over here, living in this hate, living in this let's not share love, fighting with your brother and sister. And Jesus is going, remember what I did? I left perfectness. I came and lived in all of your crap. I died for all of your crap so that you could come and live with me here. And we're going, oh no, they're this, they're that. And we throw them out with the bathwater, and it's just silly. It's just silly. So before we, you know, sort of throw these things away and we just pray these normal prayers, ask God in those prayers that you would be reminded of what he's done for you, what he's delivered you from, in order that you would, you know, remember the love that God showed you and show it to other people. But like, I'm calling him Pastor Howie. I don't care. Pastor Howie, stop reminding God about the invoice when he's already paid the bill. He's given you all that you need. So here's a classic illustration as we sort of wind things down, because I know that I've said a lot of things and I want them to settle in gently with you. But here's a good one, just to show you that I'm not superhuman in any way. Last week, I was going on a camping trip. I'm driving down the highway. I'm 10 minutes from where I want to be. And suddenly I hear the boom, wobble, 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 and the tent trailer, the tires blow out on the tent trailer. And I'm thinking, well, that's not too bad, you know. There's no accident, there's no death, you know, there's no real damage. But it's a holiday Monday. So I drive from Jaffrey into Cranbrook to hopefully get myself a tire. And I get into the store, and they have the tire, and they have the rim. And I said to the guy, I says, why don't you put the tire on the rim? I'll buy it from you. Well, get on my way. And he says, I could do that for you on Wednesday. And I said, great, that doesn't help me at all. I'm on holidays, bud, like TikTok, you know. And I didn't say that to him, but I'm thinking this in my head, you know, convenient. Everyone else is closed, the emergency numbers aren't working, but I drive down to my campsite anyways. It's good, I got a double campsite, it's the only one there. And what did I set up? Not a tent, because I didn't have a tent, I had a trailer that didn't work. So I get to the campsite, and I had a gazebo that was like a mosquito net, and I'm thinking, this is sweet, I got a pregnant wife and a mosquito net. Do you think I have my air mattress or my little, you know, sleeping mat? No, because where did I put it? Conveniently, so I would have room in the truck. In the trailer, where's the trailer? On the highway. Great. Here I am, you know, and I set up this gazebo, and people at the campsite are coming, and they're like, you know, sort of leaning in on the wife, like, are you all right? Has this guy kidnapped you? Like, you know, this is a camp. You know, and he didn't really, but, you know, people are coming, and they're like, are you okay? You know, is something wrong? You know, I've got these blown tires laying, holding my tarp out, just like so that I can remember how mad I am with God, you know. And so I'm laying there, probably 3 o'clock in the morning. I got to back up because there's an even better part. So I unload, I get the gazebo set up, and then I look at my phone, and guess what? It's gonna rain. Oh, you God! Oh, you're gonna rain tonight. Oh. We need rain. I can't get mad at God for rain, right? And I'm thinking, oh man, now I'm a sinner now. You know, all these kinds of things. I'm thinking, I'm laying there, and we pump up the air mattress for my pregnant wife, and that's great. We go and play cards, and she whoops my butt at cards and dice and every other stupid game that I never play. And I go to bed, and what do I see? An empty air mattress. And I'm laying there on this stupid mattress, and it's fine. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I say, hey there, big guy. Guess who's enjoying the R&R down here? Not this guy. Not this guy. Come on, God. What's the deal? And I had got these text messages that said, oh, just enjoy this. You're making memories. That's just so sweet, so nice. You'll tell your kids about it. I'm thinking the next person that tells me to enjoy this is going to get throttled. I'm gonna strangle them. You know, pastors are not perfect. But there was this moment, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm mad. I'm mad at God because I prayed, God, would you just, you know, give us a good holiday and let us get there safely. Well, you know what? I had a good holiday and I got there safely. Didn't have any tires, didn't have anything to sleep in, but it was warm, I wasn't wet, my wife was safe, nobody died. God answered my prayer. And the next day I got two tires anyways, but look, I was stuck. I'm the pastor, and I just told all of you to stop living over here, but this is an example. I got stuck living over here. God paid the bill already, and I'm thinking about the invoice. And God's going, I got you there safely, didn't I? Why don't you thank me for that? I got you there. Come on, you bonehead, right? So, I've got you for like 5 more minutes. Wrap it up, bring it home. So I'm laying here, I'm having this shouting match with God, and he says that you're talking about the invoice. I paid the bill. How often are we like that? We got problems with coworkers, problems with spouses, problems with children, problems with ourselves, and we're asking and we're praying that God would do this, God would do that, and he's already done a lot for us, and we got to start focusing on those kinds of things. Five quick things that I want to recap, just so that you don't walk away thinking that I've told you something that I have not told you. It is okay for you to pray for God to give you things. Praying for healing is good. God instructs us to do that in the book of James, and he does healing miracles himself. He prays for healing from God. Praying for wisdom, you know, and even praying, you know, I said praying for a car is wrong. How many, has anybody, I lost the truck that I put $10,000 in, and I got $1,000 for the stupid thing. Do you think I had another $10,000 to buy another vehicle? No. So praying for a car in the right price range for the money that I have is totally appropriate, right? I said don't pray for a Corvette Z06. You might as well try it, you know, it never hurts. But praying for the car is not necessarily a wrong thing, okay? So every little thing, it's okay to talk to God about it. Just remember that just saying in Jesus' name doesn't magically make things happen, because we don't have time today. That's not what Jesus meant. Pray this in my name and I'll give you anything. That's way too literal, okay? Pray for other people to come to know that Jesus has set himself apart from heaven. The lesson that you learned today that I did five times, pray for other people to come to know the truth, that Jesus left perfection, came to destruction, and he will bring perfection to our destruction. He will do that. He said he will do it. Whether he does it on this earth or he does it in heaven, he will do it. Everything that Jesus said he was going to do, he did. So you can challenge him on that. But he's never, ever, ever told a lie. He always fulfills his promises. Take heart and encouragement in this, that this passage, chapter 17 in John, is Jesus praying for you. He prays these things for you, that you would understand his truth, that you would have a full measure of his joy, that you would come to know him, fully comprehend who he is and all that he has for you. Number four, prayer doesn't need to be just a 2 to 3 minute thing that pastor does on a Sunday morning. Prayer doesn't need to be just at grace at a meal. Prayer can be a constant channel of communication with the Almighty God. It doesn't have to be poetic like some people. It can just be, hey God, I'm having a rough day and I need to be reminded of your goodness. That was a prayer right there, you know? It doesn't have to be, oh Lord who is in heaven, your holy graciousness, would you please, you know, give me thine wisdom for thy holy bread of life, you know, so I can eat it and be sustained. No, it doesn't have to be like that. And if you're too scared to pray out loud, crumple that idea up and throw it away. Talk to God. It's just normal, just like you talk to another normal human being, okay? Fifth thing that is hard to remember, sometimes God answers your prayer with silence. He's still answering them, but he's saying to you, have faith, trust me, I got this. When God isn't answering your prayers, remember, God didn't answer all of Jesus' prayers, and Jesus was perfect. We are all less than perfect. We are all not as good as Jesus. If God doesn't answer all of Jesus' prayers, remember that he's not going to answer them the same way, all of our prayers. Paul asked, take this thorn, whether it was literal, probably not, or an upset stomach, okay? Take this, you know, from me, Lord. God didn't heal Paul. You know, it kept him humble. Six, if you're uncomfortable, I said it already, but if you're uncomfortable praying, get comfortable praying. If you don't know how to pray, that's not an excuse. You know how to talk. You know how to move your lips and make your voice do things so you can pray, okay? You know, don't give up on prayer, okay? The last thing is don't give up on prayer. You know, how would it be if Jesus gave up on it? I was going to post one of those things on Facebook. I'm going to read it because I didn't want to say it, but I think it's strong enough that you need to hear. I hear people said, Dad, I'm preaching on prayer this morning, so pray for me. And I said, I hear people saying that they give up on prayer because God doesn't answer prayers. It's a good thing Jesus didn't quit when God didn't answer his prayer about not wanting to die in my place on the cross, isn't it? Right? God didn't answer that prayer for Jesus, but Jesus did it for us. So it's our turn to accept what God is doing, what he's done, allow it to penetrate our hearts, accept it, trust it, love it, and go and share it with the world. I keep pointing it out because it needs to be pointed out. On the way out of our church, on the top banner is, go and let your light shine before men. You know, this morning, I hope that you've heard something from the Word of God. It's not from me. You know, this was a lot of work that goes into, like, talking to God about what do you want me to share. If you want to talk about prayer, I want to talk about prayer with you. My information is all in the bulletin. Pastor Trevor's is all in the bulletin. Speak to us about it. Let us know. You have questions about prayer? You got questions about that kind of stuff? If you don't ask, you can't have your questions answered. In the same way with God. If you don't put those things before Him, why should He engage you if you don't engage Him? Okay? That's what I have for you. I'm going to pray for you, and we are going to do a song, because we have 5 minutes, right? That clock is right. I have 3 minutes, so I'm not going to do a song. I'm going to let you go. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for all the brothers and sisters here this morning letting me go a little longer than I normally go. We love you, and we acknowledge that we struggle sometimes with listening for your answers and for hearing from you, and we get stuck living on that destruction side of life. And this morning, God, we acknowledge that you have paid a bill, that you've made a way for us to be healed, that you've made a way for us to be set apart, that you've made a way for us to be accepted into your eternal kingdom and to receive eternal life. And that is something that only, Lord, you can give. And you've given it, and we would accept it. And so I pray, Lord, that that if we're struggling and that we're not engaging you the way that we should, I pray, Lord, that you would just suck us right into being engaging with you, that we would express all that's in our hearts and our minds and all these emotions and the struggles that we have, and that we would trust you enough to talk to you about them. And God, whether you answer them the way that we want you to or you answer them the way that you do, we pray that we would be faithful people. That whether we hear directly from you or whether we hear from a friend, answers that you have for us, pray, Lord, that we would have faith that you are still on our side and you are working for us, that you love us and that you've done a lot of great things for us. I love you, Lord. I pray for all of these friends here today that they would be able to go out and experience maybe something new with prayer, that they would be able to go out and experience all that you have for them this week, and that they would return home safely. And that they would be able to be a light in their community wherever it is that they go home to. Love you, Lord. Thank you for a great day. Amen. You could be dismissed. Yeah. Thank you for joining us.